So when was your last checkup? Oh no, not you. Although that's important too, but when was your last vehicle checkup? When it comes to service, nobody knows your Chevy better than your local Chevy dealer. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com to schedule an appointment today.
To the weekend. It's me, Anna DeVlantis. Happy Friday to you. Okay, so this just made me laugh. I'm looking at Twitter, and this is great. The Brookfield Zoo posted this video of the giraffes, and it's titled, the graphic says, First Time Outside in 2020, and these giraffes are just like taking off in their outdoor habitat. They're running around. They're galloping. Their long, gangly legs are going in every direction, and they're just so happy to be outside.
Can you imagine if we all did that?
I know. I was thinking, that's me running this weekend. That's what I'm going to look like. You know, it's going to be 50s and 60s, and it's just, you come alive.
Just flail your limbs and run around. It's great.
Have you seen it?
Yeah, it's oh my gosh, it's perfect.
I just watched it over and over again because I thought that's how just about everybody in the area is going to feel this weekend with this weather. It's going to be so freeing, and you're going to get rid of the puffy coat, and you're just going to feel, you know, just so
feel loose. Actual heat from the sun on your skin.
Totally.
Oh.
Isn't that going to be great?
I can't wait.
Oh, I don't know. Spring is 13 days away, by the way. 13 days is all you got to wait for. So that's good. And this weekend is going to feel awful lot like spring as well. All right, I want to ask you this. We kind of started this conversation with John in the crosstalk there. And I just wonder, have you noticed anything different in this hyper hygiene focused world that we're in right now? Are you still shaking hands? Are people still shaking your hand? Because yesterday we had a guest in studio, came up to me, and a very nice guy just said, hey, Anna, how's it going? Okay to shake hands? I'm like, sure, yeah, I'm shaking hands. Are you? And he's like, yeah, I'm shaking hands too. Okay, but I got the sense that he's not getting that answer from everyone and that things are sort of changing. And then today you got the news from the Chicago Economic Club, the club known for CEOs and, you know, really like some of the most successful people in the area go there, and they meet each other, they network, they have speakers, that kind of. Well, they put out this memo. There's a new protocol. It says refrain from handshaking and utilize the hand sanitizer that will be provided. It didn't offer examples of what you should be doing. So if you're not handshaking, what do you do?
The knowing nod. Hello
nod?
There. Give him a nod, wink and a nod.
Can that come across a little pompous?
No, just kidding. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I think so. And then the finger gun has been proposed. Hey.
Little wipe of you do the little tip of the nose touch.
Oh, yeah.
The flick.
But you're not supposed to touch your face.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So that's
I say this is the perfect opportunity to go above and beyond. Let's be really dramatic. Do the whole like arm circle down bow with the other arm way out to the side. We can just get really dramatic with it.
Someone said the Dr. Spock wave would be good too.
Oh, nice. The Vulcan salute, Vulcan, yeah. Right? I saw that out there. People are saying, well, do the Star Trek thing. But they don't touch in the Vulcan salute? There's no touching? It's just sort of a, right? That just hold your hand in that way
fingers,
that's
yeah.
Really hard to hold your hand in. But that may work for some. Might come across as weird to others. I'm just saying. The elbow bump, that's been suggested. In fact, that's the one that some of the like tech guys in Silicon Valley, Mark Andreessen, a U of I grad, you know, he's a big tech guy, billionaire guy. He put out to his employees, we're going to be doing the elbow bump. That's what we do. And that's like the official company way of doing it. But we had a listener here when we brought that up earlier in the week, you know, point out, you know, they also, health officials also say you should sneeze into your elbow. If that's one of the ways you sneeze because you don't want it on your hands. So are you bumping with the germy part? Or can you avoid the germy part? I don't know.
I think you sneeze on the inside, you bump on the outside.
Okay, so then maybe that works. Maybe that's okay. We have a caller here about Cindy. What are you going to be doing? Tell me.
I think it would be very clean and proper to just pat your heart a little bit a couple times. Pat yourself on the chest and nod your head a couple times like you're just happy to see him. That's all. And it's clean and germ-free and all that sort of stuff.
I like that a lot. Have you tried it yet, Cindy?
No, I'm retired. I don't get out too much lately.
Well,
but it sounds okay.
It does. Sounds like a great suggestion. Thanks, yeah. Cindy. Oh, so there's an idea. Fist bumps and high fives. Here's some research on that. Twice as many bacteria is transferred through a handshake compared with the high five, and a little bit lower for the fist bump. But you're still touching hands, right? You're still doing that.
I don't know what's germy. I'm guessing palms are way more germy than, you know, the outside of your hand, like the top of your hand.
Yeah. 312-981-7200. Let us know. Are you shaking hands? Do you have suggestions for non-chant handshakers? Some alternatives? I mentioned before, Premier League Soccer just said, I just saw their tweet a moment before I got on air here, the Premier League Fair Play Handshake will not take place between players and match officials from this weekend until further notice. And I also heard locally here some school sporting events. Some moms have told me that the kids are being told not to shake hands or high five even after, you know, the opposing team. You kind of do that thing after the game. Hey, good game, good game. No, they said don't do that.
Well, you know, that happened, was it the H1N1 virus outbreak or whatever, that's when you started fist bumping referees. Like, you'd get introduced, mm-hmm. and you go to the referee and you'd fist bump. You used to shake hands. And that's lasted. They still do that. You know, they don't shake their referees' hands like they used to. But that came from a previous virus outbreak that we apparently all survived.
In China, they're saying, recommending to do no shaking hands, but do like a prayer pose. Bring your hands together when you see somebody, sign of a greeting, like you're praying. Italy, they're trying to say get rid of the double kiss. That may be part of the way they're spreading infection. In France, one of their top health officials who's been widely cited in the media is saying that you can just look into someone's eyes and that will suffice as a greeting.
A French.
Yeah, a French. Aren't they known for being kissy-kissy? Brazil, they say no kissing at all, even if it's not in the mouth. Maybe that's how people greet each other there. I don't know, but they say not advised. In Germany, they're saying there was this big deal because Germany's interior minister was with Angela Merkel, the chancellor, German chancellor. And there was this awkward moment when she tried to shake his hand and he's like, no, I'm not doing that. And they kind of laughed about it. But it was a moment because it sort of showed you how high this has gone about that whole thing. And in Iran, they're doing the foot shake, tapping their feet against each other as a greeting. How about that?
I feel like people with bad balance, probably not the best idea.
Yeah, right. You're going to lift your foot up? So this is it. And then in the United Arab Emirates and Qatar, they're saying no more nose-to-nose greetings. I didn't know they did that there. They do a nose-to-nose greeting. That's not okay anymore. Now wave only. You just kind of wave. Hey, how's it going? Even if you're like a foot away from them. That's what they do. We're going to talk to an etiquette expert, Akila Siti. She is a local woman who knows about these kinds of things and thinks about these kinds of things. And she says she has a few alternatives. She's like, I got ideas. I've got some ideas. We'd like to hear your ideas. 312-981-7200. We'll continue to share them as we talk to Ryan Burrow from ABC News and WGN News about surfaces and viruses and sanitizers and all that kind of stuff. He's doing a report for both ABC and us, and we will speak with him in a moment. Pat says we were talking about ways to greet people in this handshake-sensitive world. I'm still shaking hands. I totally feel okay with that. I'm washing my hands more, for sure, but I'm shaking hands. Some people, including the Economic Club, have said we don't really want to do that anymore. That's not the way we're going to do business. We were talking about some local sports teams. Kids teams are saying that we're not going to do the shaking of hands after the game. That's happening, too. Pat says Little Rascals High Sign. So that's an option. I'm not as familiar with that. I got to look that one up. And then someone else, 847, do namaste. Okay, that's not a bad idea. Touching elbows, 847. Yeah, we talked about that one, the elbow bump. And you can just bow like the Japanese, 312. And keep your suggestions coming. I don't know. I just wonder what you're seeing. Are you seeing people are really avoiding the handshake or not? 8480, we were talking about sports and kids in basketball. Everyone's touching the ball anyway, so why does it matter? 423, why can't you just say hello? I worked in the business world in the 70s, hosted people from all across the country, and at times we never shook hands, just said hello. Hello to Ryan Burrow.
Hello.
You have kids. Are they playing sports?
I do. In fact, the Lutheran Sports Association basketball tournament starts today, and I'll be heading over to my daughter's a cheerleader, and they've been told elbow bump, no handshakes.
They got the memo, too.
They did, yeah. But I don't know.
It's no big deal, I suppose.
I'd like to see, you know, it's interesting, though, because, I mean, not only at the younger levels and at the high school level, but at the college level, the March Madness is starting to heat up. We know the Valley Tournament is going on. Valpo takes on Loyola later today. And, you know, what are those guys going to do?
I wonder if there'll be similar types of rules, or they'll just keep doing what they're doing.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's weird. All right, well, we'll keep talking about that. And we also, as I said, have an etiquette expert. She's got some ideas and ways to get around it. Because the thing is, you don't want it to be an awkward moment. I think that's the issue, right? You just kind of, one person's shaking hands and the other one's like, no, I'm not doing that. I mean, I don't know. I just feel like that could lead to awkward moments, which is why I think the Economic Club is putting out that memo.
Sure.
Because, like, hey, just this is the way we're going to do it, okay?
Sure.
Everyone, just do this. But you are also talking, as part of your reporting here, about disinfecting. And there's some new rules from the EPA about disinfectant products.
Well, what the EPA has done is they've come out with a list of 7 pages, got them right here, of products that they say would...
7 pages.
7 pages of products that they say would help kill the most difficult to kill viruses and bacteria. So... here's the deal. People mm-hmm. are going to these stores, right?
Sure.
They're panicked. They don't know what they're doing. They want to get something that's going to keep their counters clean, their doorknobs clean, their kids clean, and they don't know what to do. So this is a list by the EPA of brands and products that have been good in the past at killing viruses. And, you know... If there are two things that you can take from this, number one is that usually Lysol and Clorox are fine. These products seem to do pretty well, whether it be sprays, whether it be counter cleaners, whether it be toilet bowl cleaners. Those ones seem to be the best when it comes to killing viruses and germs. The other thing is homemade products, maybe not so great. Everyone's saying, oh, well, just
make your own.
Yeah, reach in, you know, grab some vodka, grab some vinegar, and you're all good. Well, vinegar hasn't been tested, so we don't really know. I mean, it might clean out the inside of your dishwasher, but you know, it's not necessarily something that you're gonna, you know, spray on your kid on their way out to school, although that might keep the kids away.
I've seen all these things about making your own hand sanitizer.
Yes.
And I was looking that up yesterday before I left, and I thought, well, maybe we'll talk about that tomorrow. And so I went to the store, like Walgreens, on the way home, and they were out of the rubbing alcohol.
Yeah.
So they add that to the list of things that people are stockpiling. I'm not stockpiling personally anything, but I did go by and I'm like, I asked the guy, hey, you know, I know you don't have sanitizer, because there's a big sign on the wall that, I mean, the front door when you come in that says no sanitizer.
Sure.
But I thought they'd have rubbing alcohol. They didn't. This is just one of the things
yeah.
we're dealing with, Ryan.
Yeah. And, you know, the other thing is, I mean, I think you touched on it yesterday, too, about alcohol, you know, going out and buying vodka or tequila or whatever to kill the germs and pouring it out over your counter and scrubbing. That's... not really an efficient way. You need to have 60% alcohol by volume inside that the liquid. So someone like Tito's Handmade, which they said yesterday, ours is only 40%. You're probably better off just drinking it.
Yeah.
And you know what? If you drink it, it'll make all the problems go away.
You
anyways,
won't think
right?
about it anymore. You will be shaking hands and you won't be thinking about germs and you'll just enjoy your life, which is probably how it should be.
The problem is a lot of people are going to these stores and their first product isn't there, right? The Lysol's
yes.
not there. The Clorox isn't there. So now they've got all of these other things on this shelf, you know, products that are in blue containers and purple containers and orange containers. You just grab one and you think, well, maybe this will be just fine. That's why the EPA came out with this list.
Yeah, that's smart. You can check that out. I don't know if you saw, the other thing they say is clean your phone. That's another thing. People forget about it because people are sneezing and whatever, and you're holding it out
sure.
everywhere, and it goes everywhere, and you put it everywhere. So something else just to add to your list of surfaces, if you are so inclined. This is interesting, though. I want to get to this. CNBC's Rick Santelli, I don't know if you heard what he had to say. He kind of ventured off. He was talking about the volatile global markets, and he tried to kind of move into, I don't know, he started talking off script a little bit there. He's so good. I really like him. I find that he's kind of one of those shouters in the trading
sure.
pits. You know, he's known for being, yeah, this is what's going on. And he just kind of, well, he said something that caused a lot of people to jump all over him, and we have that clip for you here.
Think about how the world, because of the GM, maybe we'd be just better off if we gave it to... Think about how the world would be if you tried to quarantine everybody because of the generic type flu. Now, I'm not saying this is the generic type flu, but maybe we'd be just better off if we gave it to everybody, and then in a month it would be over, because the mortality rate of this probably isn't going to be any different if we did it that way than the long-term picture. But the difference is we're wreaking havoc on global and domestic economies.
So
could you hear it there? He says, why don't we just give it to everybody and get it over with? And everyone's like, whoa.
Remember, okay, so you probably had it. I know I did. Jasmine, you probably didn't. Chickenpox. right? There were probably, you probably
I had
vaccine. Oh, you did have
16.
It. 16. Okay.
You
all
did
right.
have it. Because so you're right. There's a whole generation that has not
that
had
has
chicken
not had
pox.
It. We've got 20-year-olds in the office now who never had chicken pox. I had it. I remember I missed my Pinewood Derby.
Had
you had it. And remember, they used to have pox parties.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people would get
Send
together.
Send your kids
just,
over to
yeah,
neighbor kids.
Just to get it out of the way. Everyone will be sick and it'll be fine. Could you do Corona parties? Because Corona parties in 2019 used to mean something completely different. Right.
Right? It's a totally different thing. I think, and I love Rick Santelli. I love his reporting. I think people were jumping on him because of the 2-3% mortality rate associated with it. So obviously, but you're right. I get it. It's like, it just people are very sensitive in these times.
I do want to point out, I looked at the Illinois Department of Public Health's flu charts because yes, the flu is still out there.
Mm-hmm.
It's going down significantly.
Is
so
it?
Maybe this is actually helping us combat the flu
Great.
A little bit. Now we may have also peaked and this may just be the natural descent, but everyone's washing their hands. Everyone's going crazy with the hand sanitizer. Everyone's staying away from each other. Maybe
it's helping
maybe
there.
It's helping the flu. Yeah.
Well, that could be a good circumstance there. Thank you, Ryan Burrow.
Yep.
Ryan Burrow, ABC News and WGN Radio. We're going to talk to that etiquette expert coming up here on the show. Also, Mayor Lightfoot's supposed to make her endorsement for president in a few minutes from now. She's going to hold a news conference. I know Steve Bertrand will be on top of that, and we'll bring you whoever it is she decides to endorse. All right, we've been talking about the handshake and how in some circles, at least, it's not here. It's falling out of favor a little bit. The Economic Club of Chicago decided, hey, guys, members, just for now, this is what we're going to do as a precaution. You've seen this with some schools now saying, you know, to the kids, student athletes, after the game, we're not doing handshakes either. And what replaces it? Thanks for all of your ideas. We want to get the ideas of our etiquette expert, local etiquette expert. Akilah Citi is here. Hey, Akilah.
Hey. How are you guys doing?
We're good. Everybody's good. We're trying to come to the bottom of this. What's the right answer? You seem like you're in a kind of a crazy zone there, though. Are you? It's super noisy.
Oh, I'm sorry. Let me fix this. Okay, is that better?
Much better, Akilah. Thank you.
Sorry about that.
So we were just looking for, you know, what do you replace it with? Because you do see some of these organizations go, okay, let's just for now not do the handshake. But then
right.
What do you do? So I'm like, you know what? Akilah's an etiquette expert. She may have an idea or two. What do you got?
You know, whenever I'm sick, I always just give people the disclaimer. Like, I'm trying to keep you healthy and I don't want to share my germs with you. So it is okay not to shake somebody's hand. I know some people are doing the elbow bump, those different types of things. But you kind of want to keep a distance from people. To avoid spreading those germs. It is inevitable that we're going to get germs, but I just always give a disclaimer and let people know why I'm not shaking their hand instead of just kind of covering my hand and not shaking it.
Right.
But I'm telling them I'm trying to be polite to you.
Yeah. I guess I'm still shaking hands, but I'd be okay with it if someone said, you know, hey, I'm really not doing that, but just as
right.
polite and sort of smiles, I suppose. That's all it takes. Right.
Right. Right, but a virus is a virus. I mean, we run into millions of these on a daily basis, so I know we're doing a lot of precautionary measures now because we're not well-versed in this virus, but eventually we're going to be back shaking hands.
Yeah, I think that's right. I'm pretty sure about that too, Akilah. I'm pretty
yes.
darn sure. Are you running into it too, personally, though? I know you network a lot, and you're in a lot of different business circles with what you do.
You know what? Actually, I have. I've had people who were sick, but that was when the flu was kicking up. My daughter had the flu 2 weeks ago, and people were saying to me, like, you know, I really don't want to shake your hand because I don't want to share my germs. But then even at another place, somebody tried to share their food with me, and I said, you know what? I'm just a little bit more conscious right now because, you know, everybody's sick around here. So I really appreciate you offering, but I'm going to decline. So just giving people some background information.
Yeah, and say it in that nice way that you know how to do. So thank you, Akilah,
right.
for reminding us.
Thank you.
It's always good to hear from you. Have a good weekend. Enjoy that warm weather.
I will. Sorry about that noise.
No,
thanks
that's
for
okay.
me.
Love hearing from you. Thanks, Akilah.
Bye-bye.
You know, so we're going to talk about something else here. This is, I have two entrepreneurs here, two incredible women who have created a company based here in Chicago, and they're basically filling a need. They were a little early to the game, and everyone said, no one needs that. And then they suddenly, what they're making is suddenly the big thing. And let's introduce you to them and tell them a little bit about their product, Open Water. It's called Nicole Doucet. My French is not very good. Nicole, I'm so sorry.
It was perfect.
Doucet. And my high school Lane Tech French teacher would be very proud of that. And then Jess Page is your other, you guys met in college. You're both entrepreneurs. And you came up with this idea to put the water in an aluminum container. which now we keep hearing so much about plastics and people, businesses trying to cut down on plastics. You hear the straws are going away, or you have to ask for the straw. And a lot of food services, also food businesses, are trying to kind of rethink how they package their goods and eliminate plastics. It's something that I think a lot of you know, just very conscious about now, that maybe you weren't that conscious about when you started your company, for example.
For sure.
How did it go in the beginning? And tell us how you got to where you are now. Open water.
Yeah, things have changed a lot. We launched the business at the end of 2014. And this whole, you know, plastic pandemic wasn't on top of people's minds.
Don't say pandemic.
this plastic crisis wasn't on top of people's minds. And so, you know, Jess and I used to basically pack up my car with 40 cases at the beginning of the day and then drive around the city and try to sell them. And sometimes people looked at us like we were crazy.
Uh-huh.
And things have changed in the past year and a half. You know, this has become a real problem in people's minds, and we're seeing a lot of, you know, demand for open water.
So I've read here that in 3 years you're up triple digit growth year to year to year. So people are really taking to the whole aluminum can. We're used to seeing our water in a plastic bottle, right? And you for years and years and years, and then you started looking to what it's doing the environment. And we noticed even the Tribune had this great article, eye-opening I should call it, article earlier this year about the microplastics ending up in Lake Michigan. Before, we used to look at it and say, well, it's an ocean thing, and that's terrible. We should all do our part. Then we started realizing it isn't just the oceans. There's newer research, but certainly 10 years out now, they've been able to track microplastics in Lake Michigan. So it's on the radar, and I think, you know, we all try to do what we can to help. I love Lake Michigan. I love our rivers and lakes, and they're very enjoyable for us. It's a water supply. It's an important thing, and you're now seeing that the business community is taking notice.
For sure, and microplastics are not just, like you said, an ocean thing, and they're not just a waterway thing. They're an, you know, everyday life thing. Microplastics have been found in beer, in the air. On average, a person will ingest a credit card's worth of plastic per week.
Which I heard that before, and that's really hard to think about, but okay. So there's the plastics everywhere, and they're in our food supply and water, too. I mean, you see it in beer, like you said. But this is a way to say, hey, water industry, do you think that more and more will go to aluminum like what you're doing? It's a little more expensive, isn't it?
We are definitely seeing that people are placing a priority on sustainability, and the slight cost increase is warranted.
So it becomes more like a bottle of Fiji or a bottle of Evian. It kind of comes up to that level because it's in the aluminum container. But it's what? Much more easy to recycle aluminum.
Right. So what you're saying, like it ends up being on the premium side, mm-hmm. but it is much more easy to recycle. It's recycled more often and it's infinitely recyclable. So essentially what that means is you can take an aluminum can or bottle and it actually truly gets recycled rather than downcycled. So the material can be used over and over again forever to make the same packaging again.
And do you suggest people keep that bottle? Or because it's aluminum, is it reusable? Is that part of the thing?
You can certainly refill it.
You can?
Absolutely.
Okay, or else you recycle it and
exactly.
Aluminum is a valuable thing, I suppose.
Yeah, so cans are actually the most recycled packaging in the world.
It is. Yeah. Okay, so you thought of this a while ago. You're coming out of college together. You're thinking about a business, and you thought, why'd you decide to do this?
Jess and I watched a documentary on plastic pollution when we were in college, and we both knew that plastic, you know, was an issue, but seeing the numbers really blew our minds. Mm-hmm. It made us want to do something about it. And we started doing research on bottled water, and we were thinking, you know, why does bottled water even exist? You know, there's reusable bottles that people, you know, carry around. There's water stations. Tap water is great. Why does this product that creates so much pollution, why does it exist? And we realized that it was a matter of convenience, that people, even people who own a reusable bottle, sometimes find themselves at the airport, at a concert, or, you know, someplace where they don't have that bottle with them and they want something healthy to drink.
Right.
And if you look at the bottled water industry, it keeps growing despite the wide availability of these very sustainable alternatives.
You do see incentives at more and more stores now, from Starbucks offering a slight discount if you bring your own cup. I know because of the coronavirus, that's sort of, there's a little amendment to that whole policy, but even grocery stores were now, you know, if you bring your own bags, and you see, I think Just Salad is one of the chains that also says, hey, we have a bowl, it's a reusable bowl, you'll get $1 off or whatever it is for reusing it and that kind of thing. But when you were first making this pitch, like when you first launched this company, it wasn't really that embraced. Isn't that right?
For sure. I think things have changed in that regard. And you know, even us, like, we'll never say that we're more sustainable than a reusable bottle or tap water. The open water is meant to be an alternative for the times when you find yourself away from the tap or you don't have your
You'd prefer people do that, right?
Of course.
Okay. Yeah. But this is a way to say, hey, this is out there as well. What's the response been now?
So kind of to your point before, when we first started, Nicole and I would drive around the city, reach out to people. It was a tough sell. It was definitely a convincing aspect of the sales process. And things have totally shifted in the last 18 months, 2 years, where we're essentially getting, you know, a ton of inbound interest rather than having to drive the point home over and
pound
over
the pavement,
again. Exactly.
Right? Knock on doors. I'm like, what is this? It's an aluminum? Who puts water in aluminum?
People get it quickly. No.
They do, right. No. And so congrats to you and your success.
Thank you so much.
Female entrepreneurs who have been, you've gotten a lot of success stories out there about you and what you're doing, and keep on doing what you're doing.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for sharing your story here on WGN.
Thanks for having us.
Nice meeting you guys. That's Nicole Doucet and Jess Page of Open Water. That's their product, so check it out. We are going to talk with Elizabeth Alfano coming up here on WGN and then get you ready for White Sox baseball, top of the hour at 2 o'clock. Coming up, let's turn here to a familiar voice here on WGN Radio. You know her as Elizabeth Alfano. She has a new show. She's one of the executive producers and the chef for the Amazon Prime cooking show, New Day, New Chef. Isn't that right, Elizabeth?
Oh, I'm so excited about it. It's so fun.
It sounds so cool. Tell us how this all came about, because you've always been involved in so many things. You have your awesome vegans podcast, and you always talk about plant-based diets and teach us about all these things. And when the veggie burgers come out, we ask Elizabeth, hey, are those good? And why is this IPO going through the roof? And why does everyone care about this all of a sudden? And you're like, I know. I can tell you.
It's true. People do care about it. All of a sudden, it is really where everything's going. And it's not just consumers' interest, but it's also big company dollars. So you have the two of those things together, where millennials and people are more interested in their health and the environment, and then corporations putting lots of money behind that. So you're going to just continue to see these huge shifts. But for the TV show, New Day, New Chef, it's really exciting because, you know, there really isn't a vegan cooking show. There's an episode here or there. There's some stuff on YouTube. But there's not a full-fledged, large production studio vegan cooking show. So I'm one of the executive producers on this show. And I was picked up by Amazon Prime, which is so exciting. We've been greenlit for season 2, which is even better.
Nice.
And, you know, it's 8 episodes, 16 chefs. I'm one of the chefs. But we've got John Sally in there cooking. We, of course, know him, Chicago Bulls NBA 4-time champion. Mm. We've got Olympian Dotsie Bausch in there cooking. We've got a bunch of celebs in LA in there cooking. And then me. So
what's your go-to that you think that everybody would really like when it comes to, some people say vegan, I'm not going to like anything vegan.
Oh,
but
gosh.
You always say, no, I got something for you.
There's boatloads of stuff. So, well, I'm episode 5, and I will point you to my very spicy, very delicious Italian stuffed peppers. But if you're not even ready to do that, just go for the Impossible Whopper, the Beyond Burger. You can't go wrong.
That's the thing, is that I know at family barbecues over the summer, we have so many different diets in our family. And one of the things is we'll cook the vegan burgers or the veggie burgers, and then we'll cook the regular burgers and the meat products, and everything's out there and people get what they want. What I've learned lately is these veggie burgers are getting so sophisticated in recreating like the fibers of meat and the taste of meat that people can't tell the difference.
It's amazing.
And I'll be like, you just had the veggie burger. Like, what? Yeah. Like the total meat eater, like, what? I didn't mean to eat that. What was that? What? But they didn't notice the difference. Like, it tasted so good. This is what's happening out there. They've really perfected this stuff.
Oh, it's so exciting. And, you know, they keep getting better. So, you know, food and technology don't always go hand in hand, unless, of course, you're talking about the stock market, and then they really like to hear those two things together. But it's true. They keep improving on these so that the taste and the texture can be so realistic, and they can bring down the fat and really start, you know, enhancing all of the properties.
Yeah. So that's happening. And you had that huge IPO, the largest IPO, the most successful IPO of last year was the Beyond Meat.
Ah, wait, I see that, and I raise you. That was the most successful IPO since 2008.
Since 2008.
Yeah, and still roaring. Anybody who has Beyond Meat stock is very, very happy. Beyond Meat now is in Subway and Dunkin' Donuts, and they're in Starbucks in Canada. It's 52 McDonald's in Canada. I'm sure they're coming here. It's just a question of, you know, can they make enough fast enough, really?
More than half of fast food chains now have a plant-based food item on their menu.
Oh, if you don't have something plant-based on your menu, and I mean, you know, like a burger. I don't mean salad, but like a real burger. You just, you got to get with the program. So everybody's got something.
Even the Dunkin' Donuts, I noticed, right here downstairs.
Yes.
We all go down there. They have some options there.
Yes.
It seems like such a dramatic change in a small period of time. And for someone like you who's been in this world for that long, it's got to...
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what you call that, but it just... Maybe it feels good.
Oh, it feels great. It feels great. And that's why we did the show New Day, New Chef. Jane Velez Mitchell and Eamon McChrystal are really the founders of this show, the visionaries of the show. But, you know, we really felt like, oh my gosh, it is a new day.
Yeah.
And it's time for a new chef. Because I'm so tired of hearing, you know, where do you get your protein? Where do you get your... Well, here's what's crazy.
And where do you get your protein? Answer that for us.
Oh my gosh, beans and nuts and
peas.
Grains. And yes, I mean, just think about oatmeal. Oats have lots of protein. Of course, beans have gobs of protein. You know, vegetables have protein. It's this fallacy that you can only get protein from meat. That's just not right at all.
No.
And then, of course, meat has no fiber. Very hard to be healthy. With
yeah.
no fiber.
You got to get fiber. That's for sure. You got to keep things regular and all kinds of other reasons for that. The other thing though, I want to ask you about, because I do know that it's, you can still eat not healthy and be plant-based, right? You can still processed plant-based foods, and you can still, there can be lots of sugar and there can be lots of, salt. Another thing, they try to spice it up a little bit. So there's certain things that it doesn't necessarily equate with healthy. You still gotta watch what you're doing.
I love that you say this. So I recently became licensed as a Food for Life instructor with the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine so that I can help people. I do a lot of corporate wellness stuff, but also individuals, so I can help them navigate this. Yes, Beyond Meat is not a carrot. No one hopefully thinks it's a carrot. It was never marketed as a carrot. It is not a vegetable, you know, right out of the produce section. So you do have to read labels, and you do want to keep your processed foods to a minimum. But I will say this and I'll just use the Beyond Meat burger as an example, but it's also true of the other plant-based items. They are better than meat. So it's a transition out product. So they're still going to have fat and they're still going to have salt, but they're not going to have cholesterol. They are going to have some fiber. They're not going to have animal heme, which is something that is not good for our bodies. They're not going to have trimethylene and oxide, also something they're not going to have hormones. They're not going to have antibiotics. So lots of things that they don't have that meat has, which is great. Mm-hmm. But it's, you know, it's in a box. It's not a carrot.
Do you think it's, let me ask you a question. Do you think it's okay to offer a plant-based thing to somebody who's a meat eater and not tell them? This comes up in my family. Because I had a bunch of things out for the Super Bowl, and some were meat and some were not. And I remember the meat eaters had thought that this little like chili taco dip thing was meat, and it wasn't. And they were so freaked out because they wanted the meat, but they thought it tasted just like it. And then they're like, you know, you should tell us. And I thought, well, maybe I should. Maybe that's something you should do. Should you tell people?
Did they feel duped? Like, what was
they loved it, actually.
Yeah,
so they kept eating it.
So
it was,
there you go.
Yeah, so they were happy with it, but they were just a little freaked out at that moment. Like, oh, I didn't know you like that. I put that out for others because I know that you want the chili, you know, like the meat chili. And then this was like a little chili dip thing.
I mean, it can't hurt them. It can only better their health. And if they have a mental block against it, which some people do, maybe you shouldn't tell them, because then they're just going to say no to something that could be beneficial for them.
Yeah, 1-847 here, Elizabeth. Unfortunately, I'm on a restricted diet. Seems most of the vegetarian options have more sodium and saturated fat than the meat.
Ah,
probably because they use too much coconut oil is what this person's suggesting.
Well, I love that this person knows about coconut oil. And yes, that is going to be a fatty option. Usually they tend to be about the same in fat and the same in salt. So if you have diet restrictions in that way, this is again why I just got licensed to help people with this. You really want to cook your own food. I mean, we say this all the time. The closer you can get to your own food source, the better. So you're going to be able to restrict that salt and have more whole grain foods. And that's really what you want. You want a whole food plant-based diet, with the processed stuff being the treats now and then.
Yeah, that's probably true of no matter what you eat, as
yes.
you say, just to kind of know what's in your food when you can cook at home, even simple stuff.
Yeah,
really.
Even the simple stuff. And I always find that the stuff at home is better. I mean, granted, I love to cook, so I know it's a little bit easier for me, but I always find that, you know, I can cook to my taste. Sometimes I go out to restaurants and I'm like, this is too oily. This is too salty. So I really like to do it at home. But, you know, for those who can't, hit up my website, ElizabethAlfano.com. I got lots of super simple recipes to do it in like 10 minutes for you and your family.
Awesome stuff. And it's Awesome Vegans is your podcast.
Yes.
You are. Congratulations on the new show on Amazon Prime. New day, new chef. You can find it on Amazon Prime.
Yes, easy, easy. Check it, people. It's free.
It's free, too. Hey, how about that? Congrats, Elizabeth.
Oh, thanks. Always thanks nice for, to see you.
Good to see you. Thanks for stopping by and keeping us up to date on what you're working on. So good luck with the show. I'll be watching.
Thanks. Great weekend, Anna.
Thank you. You, too. We've got the Northwestern Newsroom. We're going to go to the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom coming up here. But also, we've got White Sox baseball ahead here on WGN.